The scripture for the sermon today is the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. The selected verses in the bulletin that I'm going to read first are only verses 37 and 38. I invite you, as you are able, to stand as a sign of respect for the Gospel as I read these. Jesus is speaking, and this is what he said. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. Well, as we've already said today, that the spirit that God wants us to have is a spirit of generosity, a spirit of giving, and Jesus shows us how. And Luke's gospel is one of the powerful places where that happens. And in Luke 6, we begin with a confrontation, though, because as he's going through the grain fields, his disciples pluck some grain. Well, that's against the rules, right? You're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. And so he gets in trouble for that or is questioned about that. And then later he says to them at the same time, you know, there's somebody in the synagogue who has a disability, a right hand that was withered. And again, healed on the Sabbath. And again, they're like, no, you're not supposed to do that because this guy wasn't dying. He just had a problem. He wasn't dying. And so, again, that's not right. And so there's some confrontation, and Jesus does, again, what he models for us to do. So he's been compassionate. He's been willing to do what he knew was the right thing to do. And now he goes to the mountain and he prays. It says he spent the night in prayer with God, the whole night. And after he came down from the mountain is when he called 12 and set them apart to be his special followers, the ones he named apostles. And after he did that, he went down and stood on a great level place, a plain, it says. And then what happens in Luke's gospel is a sermon that's very like what's in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's gospel. So these are words that Jesus has said, and people have heard them over and over enough that they have copied them and thought about them and prayed about them. And he talks to them, and what does he begin with? The Beatitudes. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God, is the first one. And he goes through the Beatitudes, and he shares that with them. And then he goes on and he says the parts about loving your enemies and taking care of people who wouldn't take care of you, which, again, he's been modeling, hasn't he? He's been doing that very thing as there were people who are starting to confront him and be around him and not care that he is doing what he can to make the world a better place and to help people and help them find wholeness and healing and new life. Instead, they've been backing away from him. But he goes the next step, too. Not only are they judging him and he says, love your enemies, he goes on and he says specifically to his followers, to us, do not judge and you will not be judged. Even when confronted with people who were clearly trying to oppose what he was doing, who were clearly outside the loving spirit that he wanted them to have, what he said to those who would listen is, don't judge. You need to step back and love the way God loves. You need to give the way that God gives, and see people the way that God sees them. That's so hard to do, isn't it? And yet when I read through the scriptures over and over again, that is the one thing about Jesus that I think sets him apart from anyone else, is he does that with every person. He doesn't see a Samaritan woman who's been married a bunch of times at the well. He sees a woman, a human being who needs living water. He doesn't see people as their disability. He doesn't see them as their category. He doesn't see them as anything except beloved children of God who are going to be invited ever and always back home. All the stories in the Bible, I really believe this, they all hold together. And yes, you can pull a verse or two out from here or there and say almost anything. We know that in the story of the temptation of Jesus that Satan himself quotes scripture to Jesus to say, well, you know, you could just jump off this mountain because the angels will catch you, right? It says that in the Psalms, and it does say that in the Psalms. If you take out one verse, that is what it says. But he wants them and us to see that it all holds together. And the way it holds together is to say, from the very beginning, God has loved. From the very beginning, in God's creative power, God has made us for communion with God and with each other. God has shaped this world and the people in it and continued to try to do that in powerful ways, even giving us at the same time the free will to say yes or no to that and to participate in God's grace and goodness or to sometimes just not pay enough attention or willfully do wrong. God has given us this opportunity, though, over and over and over again. And the Bible is full of those stories. And the stories that really talk about God's love most powerfully are the ones that Jesus told, the ones about the prodigal son and the father who comes running to meet him, the ones about the people who were wanting to know, well, shouldn't I go out and pull up all these weeds? And he says, no, you know, you just let everything grow. And at the end of everything, when the harvest comes, you know, God's got this. It'll be all right. Over and over again, he talks to them in parables. And so he told them a parable at the end of the passage I read to you just now. And what he's talking to them is, he says, can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall in a pit? And then he goes on and he says, why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? I mean, he says it like it is, right? And sometimes we do that. We judge ourselves by our intentions because we give ourselves credit for stuff we didn't do yet, but we thought about it, and we were really gonna do it, and we meant well, and we judge others by their actions because that's the only piece we can see. And sometimes what that results in is that we only see the tip of the iceberg of the action itself, and we misunderstand, and we judge. And Jesus says again, that is not what this is about. Generosity is not just about money. It's not just about resources. What God is calling us to do is to have a generosity of heart. He says, the good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good. If your heart is in the place that God can use, over and over again, goodness will flow from that. And maybe it'll flow in material things, and maybe it'll flow in spiritual things, and maybe you'll bless somebody in a way that was exactly what they needed that day that is not normally what they would have needed. But you can do that, and you can be part of that if your heart is changed, if your heart is warm. When I was a kid, I didn't like having a birthday in November. It was too close to Christmas. I mean, and that was before Walmart started decorating for Christmas in September. I mean, this was, you know, but when I was a kid, I still thought it was way too close to all the holidays. It was, you know, it was close to Thanksgiving, and people were already starting to shop for Christmas, and, you know, it wasn't spaced far enough apart. I wanted one of those summer birthdays. I really did, because I thought, you know, about half the year apart, you should have your big days. A few years ago, I was reminded of myself and my failure to be grateful for what I had. This book is Mike Slaughter's book, and it's one I recommend to you to read during Advent if you haven't already. It's called Christmas is Not Your Birthday. Yeah. And what it's about, again, is that we've been given a gift and called to gift others and to be generous and gracious and not to be people who are always looking for what's in this for me. Now, I've grown a little bit since I was a small child, and I no longer expect that Christmas is going to be about me, and I mostly don't even expect that my birthday is going to be about me, because it's really about, again, thanking God for another year, for the opportunity to live and to serve. You all have been so sweet today. I have received cards and I've received other things, and I appreciate that you're going to celebrate with me in the Commons. I love you for that. But I want you to know that each one of you, whether it's your birthday or not, you are special to God today too. And you are called and you are claimed and you are given so that you can give. And you have been shown the way by the one who offers life. We have the opportunity now to remind ourselves that everything we have, it came from God, and that we are God's people in this place doing specific things here. Throughout the world, there's lots of good stuff people can do. We have obligations here. We have commitments here. We have opportunities here to be God's faithful people, to love and serve and do what we can. So the chair of our finance team last week gave you a call to discipleship and asked you to prayerfully consider if you would like to make a pledge to the church for this coming year, for 2020. And so as the ushers take the offering this morning, we also offer our pledges, our pledge cards. You are welcome to either put those in the offering plate, or if you prefer to bring those to the altar, we also are happy to receive them. And then we will pray a prayer of dedication and remind ourselves again, this is a God thing. Let us turn our lives and our hearts ever and always toward the one who offers us every good gift.